Today we're going to talk about walking with God. Now, this past week, many people in our region graduated from high school. They're preparing to take their next step. We celebrated some of those in our first service this morning, recognized our seniors who were graduating, presented them with a new Bible as they prepare to move in to this next season of life. And in all reality, we're all moving and headed in some sort of direction. And so today I want to talk about walking with God as we continue to expand, as we continue to develop, as we continue to grow as individuals and grow by the power of the living God in our life. If you have your Bibles with you, we're going to be looking at a passage of scripture in just a few moments, Joshua 1, verses 6 through 9. So you can go ahead and mark your Bible there. But before we get there, what I'd like for us to do is just look at this simple passage out of Galatians as the writer there talked about basically moving with God. And he says it this way in Galatians chapter 5, verse 25. He says, since we live by the Spirit, he's speaking to those who have believed in the finished work of Jesus and the resurrection of Jesus. He says, now that we live by the Spirit, he says, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. And so whenever we look at that passage gives the notion that God or the Spirit of God is actually moving, is actually making progress, is developing something, going somewhere, I may say. It gives this notion that God is a God of movement. And, you know, Jesus said it this way about God's Spirit in John chapter 3. He says, the Spirit of God is like the wind. You can't see it, but the Spirit of God moves wherever he pleases. He does whatever he wants. But the Bible says that now that Jesus has come and he has opened up the way for us to move into a relationship with God, that once we put our faith that Jesus is the mediator between humans and God, once we put our faith in that, now the Spirit of God comes into our life. And when he comes into our life as a believer in Jesus Christ, he is taking us somewhere. He is doing something in our life. He is developing us to make a progress. And if we're going to make progress with the Spirit of God, the one who is moving and expanding throughout this earth, we have to learn how to keep in step with the Spirit. Just like you learn how to walk or keep in step with anyone. Maybe when you were little, you tried to keep in the steps of following an adult somewhere. Maybe it was like in the sand on the beach or whatever else. And so you would simply take a step, what they would take a step, put your foot in that particular place, and hopefully they were kind of leading you in some form of the right direction. But if we're going to keep in step with God, we're going to learn today how to do that from Joshua's life as he moved into a new season, as he led a group of people into a new season. We're going to learn how to do that. But it's much like walking with our legs today. We take a step with our right leg, and then we take a step with our left leg, right? We take a step in with our right leg, and then we pick up our back foot, and we take a step with our left leg. So we take a right step, we take a left step. And when we take a right step and take a left step, typically we're moving forward. We're going somewhere. We're doing something. And so let's think of it this way. If we're going to keep in step with God's Spirit that's inside of our life, we have to think of it this way. Is our right step has to be a step of wisdom, because wisdom comes from God. And if God is inside of us, we have to learn how to gain wisdom. And our left step has to be that of great courage. So if you're going to walk with God or walk with the power of God in your life, those are two things that are necessary. Wisdom and courage. Because God is taking us to uncharted territory. He's taken us to places sometimes that we've never been before. This is what it means to follow God. In other words, it's to move from the unfamiliar into the earth and permeate God's presence in uncharted water. This is the calling on the church. The church is to basically not just be a meeting for a group of people to gather together and sing some songs. We should get great encouragement from that. But God's calling us to use the gifts he's placed inside of us and permeate who he is in the earth. God's a moving God. And God wants to move in your life, and God wants to move in the next person's life. God wants to do amazing things in you and through you. But if you're going to operate and keep in step with the Spirit of the living God, you have to operate with wisdom, and you have to operate with courage. And in order to operate with wisdom and courage, whenever you do that, what happens is you begin to make forward a progress. So let's look at what God told Joshua as he was moving into a new season of life. Moses was the previous leader. Moses has now died. And God comes to Joshua and says, here's what I'm going to get you to do. I'm going to make you the leader so that you can lead a group of people into all that I have in store for them, into their inheritance, into the promised land, a land I promised your ancestors. He says, Joshua, you're going to be the one that's going to lead this group of people. And we learn from this today that we can operate and do amazing things with our life if we'll learn these principles and put them to work as we follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. The Bible says we are to keep in step, not only live by the Spirit of God, but we're to keep in step with the Spirit of God. And so Joshua chapter 1, verses 6 through 9, the Lord says this to Joshua. He says, be strong and courageous. In other words, have strength. This word strength isn't just like be powerful like that. What it means, if you're going to have strength to move with God, that means you have to develop endurance and persevere. He says, Joshua, I want you to move forward with me. I want you to lead these people into this territory that I've made a promise to your ancestors about. He says, but I want you to be strong and I want you to be courageous. He says, for you are the one who will lead these people to the promise to possess all the land that I swore to their ancestors that I would give them. The gift comes from God. He goes on to say, Joshua, be strong and very courageous. In other words, have lots of courage. He says, and by the way, be careful. Everybody say careful. Careful. If you want to succeed, be careful to obey all the instructions Moses gave you. This is really important because, see, God chose Moses to lead the people, but Moses acted as a mediator between the Creator, between God, and the people he was leading. In other words, God gave him instructions so that he could speak to the people, come on somebody, and he could begin to lead them in the direction that God said to lead them in. Now, the Bible says that we have a mediator, and that mediator, his name is Jesus. And now that he has come, he is sitting right now, because he defeated death and resurrected from the grave, he is sitting in the throne room of God, mediating between God and people, and he has sent the Holy Spirit to live inside of you so that we can be led by him, keep in step, have the courage and the wisdom to know how to follow God. The Bible says that Spirit lives in you. This is significant. And so if you're gonna be led like Moses led the people of Israel into these amazing places, you gotta depend on the mediator, Jesus, who gave his life on the cross. It is your advocate in the throne room of God. And now, Jesus isn't only our Savior, he's right now currently our mediator. And he's mediating between the Most High God and us. And as he mediates between the Most High God, he has sent the Holy Spirit to lead us on this journey. And the Bible says that one day he'll come back and he will serve as a king that rules over all things. It's amazing. It's incredible. This is Jesus. This is the one we follow. But can I tell you something? It takes courage and it takes wisdom to keep in step with the Spirit and follow God. You got to have a lot of courage because Jesus is typically taking you into uncharted waters and into territories that you're going to typically find some resistance. You got to have perseverance. You got to have courage. And then you have to have wisdom. He goes on to tell Joshua this. He says, do not deviate from these instructions, turning either to the right or to the left. And then look, then you will be successful in everything you do. Study this book of instruction, he says, continually. He says, study these instructions Moses gave you continually. Meditate. Everybody say meditate. Meditate on it day and night so you will be sure to obey everything written in it. Only then will you prosper and succeed in all that you do. This is my command. Be strong and courageous. He repeats it again. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. And so let's talk about this for just a minute. How do we gain courage and how do we gain wisdom from God and keep in step with the Spirit? Well, wisdom, it says here in this passage, he tells Joshua, Joshua, you're going to learn how to be successful in all that you do if you listen to the instruction, the word of the Lord, and you learn to meditate on it day and night. He says, you're going to gain wisdom to be able to move forward with God and lead these people into this great, great inheritance. So I wrote this down. Wisdom comes from meditation. It comes from meditating on who God is and the word that comes from God and moving in the direction that God has taken humanity. It's really, really important because it's one thing to read a sentence out of God's word. It's another thing to begin to meditate on that sentence and apply it to what God is doing through humans in the earth. Let me say that again. It's one thing to pull a sentence out of the Bible. But see, unless you begin to understand contextually what the Bible is all about and what God is doing through his written word and all the instructions he gives humanity, he's simply revealing who he is from front to back and how we as humans interact with him and carry out our purpose here on earth. God told human beings, your purpose, simply in Genesis 1, your purpose is simply this. He says, to basically permeate my presence throughout the earth, to rule and reign over the earth. Don't be overtaken by things, by all kinds of things, to rule and reign the earth and permeate the earth with my presence. So if the presence of God now is in the believer, which is you and me, then we have to learn how to operate with his instructions, meditate on it, and apply what he says in his word to our life. This is how you begin to gain wisdom. But you have to understand what life is all about. Life isn't just about sucking air in. Life isn't just about getting married and giving somebody in marriage. Life isn't just about all those things are great things. Life isn't just about making a living. Life isn't just about retiring someday. No, life is bigger than all of those things. And wisdom, understanding this, will begin to help you keep in step with the Spirit of God and carrying out the principles of what he's called you to do. And it will oftentimes have an effect on other people. So wisdom comes from God. Wisdom comes from God. Joshua doesn't only you know, say, operate with wisdom, or God doesn't only tell Joshua to operate with wisdom, and he tells him to operate with courage. And what I've discovered is wisdom can come from meditation, but courage comes from participation. You see, when you participate in what God says, you can get wisdom from God. He can tell you exactly what to do. You can get wisdom, but until you take a step with the small things that God tells you what to do in and participate with what God's telling you to do, then chances are you'll not have the courage to take the bigger steps. Let me put it this way. Typically, we have to be obedient in the small things in order to begin to have the courage to do the big things God's calling us to do. See, it's one thing to meditate on the Word of God. It's another thing to participate in what the Word of God says to you and how it applies to your life as a human being. And again, God didn't call you just to walk around and just be a soldier and a robot and do what it says to do just because it says it's to do it. No, no, no. The Bible says that God wants you to have communion with Him. He wants you to follow His leading, keep in step with His leading, get wisdom in what that all means. It's not about, hey, just obey and do these 11 things or 12 things or 15 things. No, no. God wants to grow you. He wants to develop you. And how He does it is He begins to cause us to take small steps of faith. And when our small steps of faith begin to grow, we begin to have the courage to do even greater things, and we become more and more successful with God. But none of it comes without resistance. See, faith, a lot of people want to have big faith and do big things for God, but faith is grown like a muscle. In other words, God will do what He says He's going to do. He's right all the time. He fulfills every promise He's ever made. But see, the people didn't have the courage to see God fulfill His promise. And see, today, we live on the other side of the cross, on the other side of the resurrection, on the other side of the ascension of God or Christ. We live on the other side of all that. And we live before the return of Christ. When He's going to set it all up, and it's going to be simply amazing. But the reality of it is we live in this time period where God has called us to be His church and operate by the power of the Holy Spirit in us. And that power of the Holy Spirit is God's Spirit. And God's Spirit begins to speak to your spirit and guide and direct your life every step of the way if you will choose to meditate and participate. But see, meditation and participation, what those two things begin to do is they begin to build perseverance or endurance. And see, if you're going to go where God's taking you to, you got to have endurance. You got to have perseverance. God is not so interested in you starting the race. That's a big thing. The Bible speaks a lot about finishing the race, not just starting a relationship with God, but letting God grow you and develop you in that relationship and give you a gift to participate in what He's doing in the world through human beings. God is not just working through you. God is working through us. And we have to learn who God says we are in this world. Let me say it this way. We're not the Israelites, but we're advancing the kingdom now. We can learn from the Israelites what God did before Christ come, but now we live after the cross of Christ. We live after the ascension of Christ. And so what we do is we take the principles that God spoke to these people, and we begin to move forward with our life. God says that He has made us a part of His church through Christ Jesus, and we have to get wisdom from His word. We have to meditate on His word, and we have to participate from His word, and then we can begin to move forward. But see, we have to keep the right mindset of what God's doing through all of this. And that is, I wrote it down this way, we have to not only move forward ourselves, we have to help others move forward too. Joshua is called to leadership by God simply for one purpose. And it's not to move into the land that he promised Father Abraham by himself. He was to move into the land with all of the people because God had promised them together this particular land. And he says, Joshua, you know what? I want you to keep my vision before your heart. I want you to have the courage to keep walking. But I also want you to understand that helping others get there is significantly important too. See, God calls the local church to build each other up. We're to make God known in the earth. We're to serve the world around us so others can come to know our great God. But the Bible says this, they may know you are my followers, my disciples, my students, by their love for one another. And so you want to know the greatest evangelistic or outreach or helping others know who God is? It's when the church, those who have already put their faith, trust in God, take their gift that God gave them and they put it together with the other gifts that God gave somebody else. And they begin to love each other in such a way that it begins to reflect the love that God has for human beings into the world. This is significant because it's not just about going out and getting other people, you know what, to just come and attend. No, it's about building each other up in the faith. The church is to build each other up in the faith. We're to challenge each other. We're to love each other. We're to help each other progress into the inheritance that God has for us all. In other words, we don't leave no one behind. We begin to try to help others. Now, that means you got to apply yourself and want to go and be a part of what God's doing. But what happens oftentimes is people are like, no, I'm just going to resist. And I'm fully convinced of this. God is not just moving one or two of us into this inheritance. Because my Bible says this, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son. And my Bible says that God will have people in his family, in his household, in his kingdom from every tribe, every tongue, and every nation. So what that means to me is I am not to step into this inheritance with wisdom and courage by myself. I'm to encourage others around me to take the steps too with the gifts that God's placed in them. It's the calling on the church. We're here to permeate the presence of the living God into this earth. Now, there's all kinds of things that begin to help people not keep in step with the Spirit. In other words, take them off target. But one of the greatest things that we can show the world around us is our love for one another. And I'm going to come back and talk about that, but I want to show you what it continues to say in Galatians chapter 5, verse 26. The Bible says, not only let us live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit, but it goes on to say this. He says, let us not become conceited, provoking and envying one another. In other words, the writer is writing to the church at Galatia, and he's saying, look, don't fall back into one way or the other way. Don't let people take you away from the good news of what Jesus came to do. He came to set you free from the power of having to be kept under a rule book and a law book. He didn't say that none of that was important in your life. He's saying, but now you can be led by the Spirit. But when you're led by the Spirit, you know what? Don't become conceited and don't provoke and envy other people for how God is working in their life. In other words, you're called to work together. You're called to love one another. You're called to build each other up in the faith. So, you know, and the fascinating thing is love is basically shown by helping others become everything that God has created them to be. In other words, you don't want to step into the inheritance by yourself. I don't want to step into the inheritance that God has for me in eternity by myself. I want every man, every woman, every boy, and every girl to step into their inheritance too. So I want as much for them as I want for myself. But the thing is oftentimes when we love, people take it in the wrong way. In other words, because love isn't just telling you how awesome you are. The Bible says love disciplines you. Love speaks about when you get it wrong so you can get it right. Love builds you up. Love doesn't suppress you and push you down. Love begins to come under you, and it's not really just about me, but it's helping elevate you to a place that you can become everything that God has created you to be. It's calling out what God's put in you. That's significant. In other words, it's not just letting you stay the same. It's challenging you. Love challenges you not to stay the same. And God is working through Joshua, and he's saying, listen, I'm calling you to lead into this inheritance, but here's the deal. I'm not just calling you, Joshua. I need you to love the people because I need them to step into their inheritance too. Let me show it to you. It's found in the next couple of verses, Joshua chapter 1, verses 10 and 11. The Bible says, once Joshua gets this download from God to operate with wisdom, to operate with courage, to operate with perseverance, the Bible says, then Joshua commanded the officers of Israel, go through the camp and tell the people to get their provisions ready. In 3 days, you will cross the Jordan River, look at this, and you will take possession of the land the Lord your God is giving you. What is Joshua doing? He's speaking through the leaders and he's saying, listen, God is getting ready to provide for us, and we got to have the courage to step where he says we're going by faith because he has an inheritance waiting on us. But what I need you to do is I need you to get your provision ready and come with us and walk with us. And let me put it this way, church, God's calling us to keep in step with his spirit. And he's saying, would you come with us? Would you follow the very leading of the Spirit of the living God in your life? Because the Spirit of the living God is leading you out of hatred. It's leading you out of envy. It's leading you out of jealousy. It's leading you out of all of these variations of things. And the Spirit of the living God, the Bible says in Galatians, is the outflow of that Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. What does that mean to you? That simply means, you know what? I understand that God is working not only in my life, but he's working in the next person's life too. He's working in somebody's life that don't look like me. He's working in a different age group. He's working in a different ethnicity. In other words, everything doesn't have to be exactly alike. But what God is doing is he's taking diverse things. He's putting it together and he's doing amazing things in and through people. But you got to buy into that. You got to trust that. And here's what I know is God's wanting to do bigger and greater things. But the question is, are you willing? Are you willing to have the courage, the audacity, the strength, the perseverance, the wisdom, and the love for humanity to help them achieve the greatness that God has created them to be? Because see, here's the deal. It's God isn't about staying the same. He's about progression. He's about progression. God gently began to reveal who he was. Whenever we take the scripture and we go back to the first man and the first woman, and God is steady unpacking who he is and progressing. He's the same God. He's the same yesterday, he's the same today, and he's the same forever. But he gently begins to reveal who he is and what he wants to do through people.
You understand that God is building a family. He's building a family out of human beings. He's helping human beings become his children that he so desired for them to become. But my friend, you got to trust God. You got to put your faith in God. You got to believe that God is for you and not against you. And so many people sit and they wonder, you know what, why ain't I growing? Why am I not developing? Why does things feel so stagnant? Well, it's simply because you got to keep in step with the Spirit. And God's going to take you to greater things. But you got to first and foremost trust who he is through Christ Jesus. That's the beginning of the relationship. But then that relationship is developed along the journey. You got to have the courage to walk. You have to have the courage to grow. Because God is not about leaving anybody the same. He's about building up the family of believers and revealing who he is to the earth. Let me pray for you today. God, you're an amazing God. God, I pray for courage. I pray for wisdom. God, I pray that we as a church wouldn't be afraid to step into the next season. God, as new people begin to come into the church, God, I pray that they would recognize first and foremost, Jesus, you're the captain, you're the king, you're the CEO, you're the leader of this church. But God, you have called them to step in and make a difference with their life. God, you're not just salvaging us so that we can go to heaven one day. God, you saved us, and the Bible says that you call us to a holy calling, a set-apart calling. So God, I pray for participation. I pray for wisdom. We would meditate on what you want to do through us together, and we would all step in and participate using the various gifts and making you known to the earth. Jesus, I thank you for being our example. I thank you for being our Savior. I thank you for being our mediator. I thank you for being the one who is going to come back and put all things in the abyss that are not from God. And I pray that we would submit to you today and your authority and put our faith in who you are and what you're doing in this earth. Jesus, you're significant, and it's by faith that we've come to know who you are. It's by faith we're to walk on this journey and keep in step with the Spirit of the living God. We pray it today in Jesus' most holy and precious name. Amen.